Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Oh boy. Overnight America continues for one more hour. And I gotta say, I'm not a wrestling fan. I used to watch wrestling growing up, but it intrigues me to learn that this year's WrestleMania, the biggest wrestling event of the year, was to an audience of none, just the people watching on the video screens at home, their computers, their tablets, their TVs, their whatever it was. And that was it. No audience. Apparently, they recorded this before. They all had to head on home and self-quarantine. So all of this was just ready to go. And I know you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, does that mean wrestling staged? No, of course not. Don't be silly. It means that it was just pre-recorded and aired tonight. There's been a couple of television shows that have done that, where they've recorded alternate endings. One of the more famous ones is Cheers. Now, if you were around in the 90s and you watched Cheers and it got to the series finale, they recorded the series finale one way, and then they sent the audience home because they knew the word would get out and everyone would spoil the ending. But then, after the audience left, all the characters came back and they filmed the real ending, the one that aired on television, and it shocked and surprised everyone. Wrestling apparently did the exact same thing here. They decided to record a couple of different endings in order to shock and awe people, so they didn't know what they would be getting. It was at least the appearance of anything could happen. So if the word got out that so-and-so won, and then it would be ruined for you ahead of time because it was the big match. Ah, but not so fast. There was alternate endings recorded, so anything really could happen. That was really smart of the WWE to do that. Did anyone watch the WrestleMania pay-per-view over the weekend? I guess it was spread out over a couple of days. Was it weird with no fans, or did you like it with no fans? Did it take away? Did they do anything to address it? Did they do anything to play into it, make it as part of the bit, like, oh, there's no fans here, whatever it was? Give me your reaction, your review of WrestleMania, because I know we have wrestling fans. And probably 2 weeks ago, we had someone call in that said, oh, I'm a wrestling fan. And they said they'd call in and give me an update of what was going on. You know who you are. You said you'd call in and tell me. So I'd like to hear from you. I have the texting up, too. One other thing that was really, really gross. I've been going online and looking for different snacks that we could enjoy. Because it happens. You run out of combinations. And you know what I noticed? I have been eating more leftovers than I ever have in the past. There's something about the idea that you might not be able to go and get more food, right? Like, you might at some point not be able to go out to your restaurant or not be able to run up to the grocery store if things got really bad and they closed it down temporarily. There's something strange about my mentality. Leading up to that point, I was never a big fan of leftovers. Now, I'm eating leftovers all the time. It's the thought in my mind is, I better eat it before it goes bad because I don't know what else is out there and I don't want anything to go to waste. That's the type of mindset I got right now. So I went online and I thought, what are some weird snacks or things that I could eat? And lo and behold, there was a website, eatthis.com. It's a famous book that came out some time ago. You know, Eat This, Not That. Basically told you all the different things at fast food restaurants. So if you are a fan of this and say, oh, this is terrible for you, if you really have to go there, eat this instead of that. So they give little advice out. So here's a couple of snacks that they are saying that people have been posting online that they have been enjoying. Weird snacks include mustard apples. What? Do not believe that. You know, there's people online, they just like mustard and apples. A lot of this, I feel, is just people pulling your leg, right? They pull your chain. Here's another one. Cheetos and marshmallows. Cheetos and marshmallows. Who does that? One person made a Rice Krispie Treats, but instead of, you know, using all Rice Krispie Treats, they put in and crushed up Flaming Hot Cheetos. Who enjoys that? That is so weird. Ugh. One's called a prison pizza. A prison pizza is essentially Slim Jim's cheese and crackers. Oh, man. How bad do things have to be before you try something like that? Slim Jim's cheese and crackers. Oh, that's got to be terrible. I guess in a pinch, if you're really craving it. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of when people get, like, pregnancy cravings. They get the cravings of, oh, I got to have my apples and mustard. And here's another one for you. Pizza donuts. So a donut hamburger or a chicken sandwich or whatever is when you cut like a donut in half and then you put whatever beef patty in between and use the donut as the buns. Well, it's a very similar thing, except it's a pizza-style donut sandwich. A donut sandwich. Get that in mind, with a pizza inside. Egg sandwich. People have been making egg sandwich hacks. I noticed, too, in my house, we've been going through a lot of eggs, a lot of bagels, things that are really easy to use. There's some weird food combinations out there that you probably didn't even know you wanted to try until I'm bringing this up to you right now, and you're going to go straight to your computer and start Googling this sort of thing. I'm just going to post this link right now on the Ryan Recker Radio Facebook page. You can get it right there. So go ahead and give it a try. Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. I'll post that link in just a moment. Coming up in a few minutes, I also wanted to talk about the complications that people have when it comes to getting those small business loans. There's been some issues with the website, and people are complaining about that. We're going to replay our interview with Rabbi Noam Moranz. That's going to come up a little bit later this hour, too. And I'll take some more of your calls if you're out there, but you may be sleeping, you may be tucked in, you may be listening on your alarm clock, trying to settle down for the night. I will be here, and I'll be perfectly content to help you go to sleep. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Here we are, Overnight America. We're going to air our interview from earlier if you missed it. This is good for you. Rabbi Noam Moranz is going to join us. And we'll talk some faith, but he is with the AJC, I believe it is, the American Jewish Committee. And I don't know a lot about the Jewish faith. However, he is someone that has counseled a lot of people. And apparently they get a lot of phone calls from other people of faith that have questions for him. So we thought we'd have him on the show, talk about how they're dealing with it nationwide and what his message is to the people and some good answers there. And I also find out what his favorite baseball team is. Spoiler alert, it's not the Cardinals. You know, let me bring this up real quick. And a lot of people have been watching this documentary series on Netflix. It's been the thing everyone is talking about on social media. And it has to do with a person that owns a private zoo in Oklahoma. He's the Tiger King. That's the name of the documentary. Joe Exotic is his name. And he prides himself not only for his looks, but how charismatic. He likes the attention. He is a very interesting cat, man. I don't know how to put it. The guy has so many different things going for him. It is one of the craziest individuals I've ever seen in my entire life. So I've seen a couple of this episode. So when I saw this story pop up on TMZ, and the only reason I watch it is because everyone seems to be talking about it. I almost wish I didn't watch it, but I, you know, here's what the latest story is out of the Bronx Zoo. Tiger tests positive for COVID-19. First U.S.-based animal. Tigers can get the coronavirus? So the USDA's Animal and Plant and Health Inspection Service just realized some information that'll come to potentially great news for pet owners about this, because some people are thinking, well, if tigers can get it, does that mean cats can get it? In a Q&A sheet to their site, federal scientists say in regards to animals, while they're domesticated, with the being an animal can catch the virus, can give it back to people. The experts say no. They add, at this time, there's no evidence to suggest that any animals, including pets or livestock, can spread COVID-19 infection to people. So how in the world did this cat test positive? And why did they think to test the cat? And how much did they have to drug him in order to test it? Because I don't think they can just do a standard test to a cat now, can they? That's a little strange at the Bronx Zoo. I guess they're always watching for that. When it's top of mind of what the symptoms are for a person, I guess, why not? Doesn't it seem like it's a waste to take a test and put it on a tiger? Doesn't it seem like it's a waste if there's such a limited amount of these tests to go around? Maybe. Is it a blood test? I don't know. But does it matter? Probably not. Here's another story from NBC Nightly News. They did this one story on thousands of applicants for the small business lending program. So billions of dollars, $350 billion being pumped into this in order to give loans to small businesses. But it's not working the way it should. As a report from NBC News pointed out, and they interviewed some people that try to apply for this online, they made it sound like it was available and they're going to open it up immediately. Well, that's somewhat of good news, but when practice, it didn't really work out that way. People have been trying to go to this website and they've been having issues with it. Just like a lot of people have been trying to file for unemployment. If you lost your job during this time and you go to file for unemployment through your state's services or whatever it may be, you find that it is sometimes difficult. Sometimes the site may be down. Sometimes it doesn't process because you have a lot more people filing than they ever anticipated their system would be able to handle. And I think the same thing's happening federally speaking. Here's from NBC News.
Tonight, the biggest banks have live applications offering relief to the 35 million small businesses in America. Yesterday, Bank of America received over 85,000 applications for over $22 billion in assistance.
Wow.
That surge causing problems for small business owners like Nick.
The paycheck program that everyone's saying is going to help small business, we're being denied and there's no way for us to access that fund. And it's terrifying.
As of tonight, the top three lenders are telling me that technical issues are causing a delay in the application process, but all parties are working together to get things moving.
Yeah, let's hope they get that soon. Well, the thing is, hopefully it's only delayed a few days or whatever, but if they can get that up sooner than later, but when you have, you know, billions, what, $22 billion being requested at one time all at once, with spread out over, what, 17,000, did they say? Small businesses, 18,000. It's a lot of small businesses. Small businesses meaning 500 employees or less. And independent contractors were going to have their own process to go through. They might have to go physically show some more extra paperwork. But still, there's going to be a lot more that are going to be applying here sooner than later. They got to get this ready. They got to get this fixed. It's just, it's a necessity. So just like anything else. President Trump today during his press conference, I played this before and it's worth playing again. Between Missouri and Illinois definitely has the worst of it. And during these different press conferences, you've seen this. I've seen people post up interviews with Governor Newsom over in California. He was giving an interview to The View. And I know you're rolling your eyes right now thinking, ugh, The View. Just like all of the different view, and they've done this before, all of when you can get a Newsom or you can get whatever in New York, Cuomo, whenever you can get interviews with them, what was the first thing that the quote-unquote journalists, I don't really consider them journalists, but what's the first thing that they do? They always try to get you to, oh, say something nasty about President Trump. Oh, they always want you to turn it. Say something bad, which, again, just circles back to their own biases and their hatred towards them to begin with. So in a time when we're fighting this natural disaster, this virus, this war on this virus, when we're all trying to gather together and try to defeat this thing, what they're doing is trying to find better ways to divide people. So that's what The View does. They go and they do their thing. Governor Newsom comes back and, listen, would say good things about President Trump. And they were just, I cannot believe what I'm listening to. They tried the same thing with Joe Biden. Remember, who was it? Was it, what's his face on Face the Nation? Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd says, does the president have blood on his hands? Joe Biden, does the president have blood on his hands? And they'll do these interviews and they try to do these getches and whatever. And it's just absolutely maddening. Well, what happens? During a press conference today, President Trump talks about all the different aid that's going out to all these different states, including Illinois. And he likes to make a side note. He's like, come on now. You know, of all that we're doing to the states, this is federal assistance, by the way. The federal assistance should be a backup. We can come in and help you when you have a shortfall, if you need some help. Federal assistance shouldn't be, I run a state, you know, I'm Governor Pritzker, I run the state of Illinois, and all I'm going to do is just allow the government to take care of everything. You know, this whole idea that the federal government will just take care of your every whim, let this be a reminder to everyone that's just begging for socialism right now and Bernie Sanders. Let this just be a reminder that if the government's going to take care of everything you need, let's just see how it's been working so far, and let Governor Pritzker give you the great endorsement of how that could go. You got to have self-reliance, and as a governor, you got to have your own resources that you call on. You got to be able to use your own resources. If you're a governor and you have no resources, you are completely underprepared for things like this, then don't go and complain that President Trump isn't helping you fast enough, which, by the way, you're not doing your job if that's the case. Listen to what the president said today.
We've also sent an additional 200 ventilators to Louisiana, definite hotspot. 300 to Michigan, working very well, I think, with the governor. Amazingly, 600 will be going or have gone to Illinois. And, I mean, there's a governor, I hear him complaining all the time. Pritzker, I hear him, he's always complaining. And yet, I just said, give me a list of a couple of the things we've done in Illinois. And we're building a 2,500-bed hospital in McCormick Place. That's the big convention center in Chicago. And we're helping to staff it, and probably will end up staffing it, because he's not able to do what you're supposed to be able to do as a governor. He has not performed well.
Yeah, he has not performed well. By the way, all of this can disappear. Look at the people that politically disagree with President Trump. You have the Governor Newsom in California. You have Governor Cuomo in New York. These are people that are not fans of him at all. And what happens? They're saying he's doing a pretty good job, right? They're giving him credit. He's doing what he can. This is a federal emergency. This is a national emergency, I should say. And there's a lot that still can be done, and they're getting it as fast as they can. But by the way, if you have no resources, or if you're a governor and you can't take care of this, and all you got to, your first line of defense is to complain about the president, then you're doing it wrong. We'll take a look at your weather coming up in a moment. And we're also going to be talking to Rabbi. Yeah, never thought you'd hear those words, huh? Rabbi Noam Marantz is coming up next on Overnight America, KMOX. Joined us now, Director of Interreligious and Intergroup Relations as part of the American Jewish Committee, the AJC. It's Rabbi Noam Marantz.
Hello.
Hi. Well, thank you for joining us tonight on this Sunday night. I know it's a late one, but I do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
When I look at what's going on, a lot of different churches, a lot of different faiths, it's been a difficult time for them. Some have tried to figure out ways to adapt, use technology so they can at least try to provide some spiritual services to their congregation. Others have had a hard time catching up. But in general, we've seen that a lot of worshipers are just thirsty, finding ways to participate, but they're told they can't come in. And I'm wondering how you've been handling it.
There have been dramatic increases in accessing religion through virtual techniques. It seems to me that there are arguably more people accessing faith and religion through virtual techniques than were attending the physical synagogues, churches, and mosques. As a result of this crisis, people are figuring out ways of how they're going to participate, be it for Easter, Passover, or Ramadan coming up later in the month.
Have you ever seen anything like this in your lifetime?
No, I've been a rabbi for four decades, and nothing compares to this. People are thirsty, they want to participate, and they're taking advantage of the virtual opportunities. It will be interesting to see what happens after this crisis abates. But we have to remember the most important part, and that is, unfortunately, that people are dying, people are ill. There are frontline heroes who are risking their lives in order to save others. So this is a secondary issue. Faith is an access point for people to deal with this kind of crisis.
You know, it's also a lot of people do look at this and they say that faith is not secondary to the virus, so they keep their deeply held faith up and they still want to go to service. They still want to worship in public and gather, and they have a hard time understanding why some of their places of worship are closing the doors and saying it's best for you to go away. So what do you say to people like that?
I'm not going to pretend to be a Christian or Muslim leader. I'm a Jewish leader, and I can tell you what Jewish values say. Jewish values put the sanctity of life above all, safety above all. You cannot put yourself into a life-threatening situation in order to fulfill your faith obligation. I think that priority makes sense. Deny yourself one Passover and one Easter in the way that you did it for many years so that you can observe it in that way for many years to come. We can fulfill the values of these holidays without the physical structures because ultimately they are about values, about how we treat one another in addition to our faith in God. And this virus has taught us that we need to be together in order to defeat it. Those are the values that are most important during this holiday season. And frankly, they are reflected by the themes of these holidays.
Rabbi Noam Moran's joining us, the Director of Interreligious and Intergroup Relations for the American Jewish Committee. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit more on that, some of the things that you've learned during this time. Otherwise, you know, normally you wouldn't be held aside, and this really is a different time to live in for these type of services. So tell me a little bit about the things that your takeaways, the things you've learned because of it.
What's clear to me is that this crisis has enabled us to focus more clearly on the values of the holidays. I'll give you an example. In the Seder, the Passover ritual, the family gathering, which often has dozens, and this year will have fewer, maybe some people will be connecting via Zoom, others will be more strict, and whatever number they have, that's the number they will celebrate with. But during the Seder, we say, this year we are slaves, next year we will be free. In fact, we say it in the language of Aramaic, the language of the ancient rabbis, the language of Jesus and his disciples. Now, normally for American Jews, the idea that this year we are slaves, next year we'll be free, that doesn't always resonate in the way that it might. But this year it really does resonate because our society is enslaved to this plague. And only through our compatriot behavior, through our inextricable link, can we defeat this. It reminds me of what the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said in a letter from the Birmingham jail, the famous line in which he said, "We're all inextricably linked. Justice, injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere." That's the theme this year, both for Passover and I think for Easter, although it's not my specific tradition, that we are in this together, and we're only going to get through it together if we all do what we need to do in order to be safe. And I think that's what's expected of us during these holidays.
You know, you might be able to help me because, you know, I am a Christian and I don't have a lot of understanding of the Jewish faith. So as a rabbi, part of your day to day, would you normally go and visit people of the synagogue in, you know, maybe there are some people in need or whatnot? Would you make home visits?
Yes, a congregational rabbi would normally be visiting people in hospitals. If there are shut-ins, he or she would be doing that as well. And today, we have to reach out in different ways. So if we don't see someone in the virtual congregation, then we have to check in on them. I am part of a congregation that has many members and many ordained rabbis, and I'm one of those ordained rabbis. And I was sitting working at home with my family, and a lay person from the congregation was calling people and called me and asked how I and my family were doing. Now, of course, we were able to take care of ourselves, but others might not have, and that would have triggered a response to help to bring food, to deliver pharmacy, whatever it may be. So, yes, if synagogues, churches, and mosques are not about that, then what are they about? They're not worth the bricks with which they're built if they can't take good care of the people who belong to the community.
Right. And I think a lot of people do search for answers in times like this. They wonder if this is part of something bigger. They also wonder, too, you know, about their faith. They think about, you know, what it's like to be put aside and wait for those moments they can go back into church. And then they wonder, too, if they're going to fall into bad habits while they're forced to stay at home and whatever those other things may be because they're not as busy. And what the old phrase is, you know, I forgot what it was, an idle hands or the devil's playground or something like that.
Right.
So people worry about those things. I'm sure I'm getting that phrase wrong. But the idea is some people are worried. They say, you know, this might be a test for them right now to make sure they can keep the faith during a time like this. Do you see that? Do you see any truth in that?
Well, I don't know what God is specifically expecting of us at this moment. I do know that, and I do hope, that what God is expecting of us is to find our better selves. And that we can't be, you know, concerned only about ourselves. We have to be concerned about the other. If that's the test, then I'm believing in that test. I'm not one who feels necessarily that God is testing our faith, but God perhaps is giving us a challenge to our values. Will we step up for our fellow human being? Will we worry about the other? Will we only worry about ourselves, or will we be altruistic and worry about the other? If that's the test of faith, I'm with it.
You know, if people wanted to learn more about the things you're doing, and you're part of the American Jewish Committee, and
correct,
where would they go to find out more?
The best place to go is ajc.org, where we have a lot of resources. We do outreach on behalf not only of the Jewish people and the interests of the Jews, but also for all peoples, because we've always believed that if we raise the boat for all, we'll raise the boat for the Jewish people as well. You'll also find there Passover resources and things that we've written about how to deal with the coronavirus in the context of Jewish identity. We have this program called hashtag Be a Mensch, which means be a good person. And we're highlighting people who are doing the things that I spoke about a few moments ago, that they're worrying about others, they're doing the right thing, they understand that we're all in this together.
Wow. Do you get a lot of calls or emails from people of other faiths?
Well, I do a lot of work in interreligious relations, as you know from my title. As a Jewish leader whose primary work is in interfaith dialogue, I have a lot of interaction with the non-Jewish world. Yes, of course.
Well, I'm always curious about that. I think a lot of people are curious sometimes about different faiths, what other people believe in. I think they like to have those conversations. And it's good to know that people do reach out and ask questions still. You know, you don't want people just to assume. It's probably better just to ask a question, you know. If people, again, your website for AJC, if they just wanted to check you out at the American Jewish Committee, what was the website one more time?
AJC.org.
Rabbi Noam Maranz, I want to thank you for coming on tonight to Overnight America, talking a little bit about this time we're in.
It's my pleasure, and I look forward after this whole crisis for the baseball season to start. What do you say?
I think we're all ready for this. I don't know how long it's going to take, but man, I know we could use a distraction right about now. And it'll be a lot sweeter when the season starts this year, won't it?
It's a good thing to look forward to. It's a recreational thing. It'll calm us, and I think it'll be like a return to normalcy.
Yeah. Who's your team?
Am I allowed to say New York Mets?
New York Mets. I got you. Well, Mets are
now. You know where
team.
I get my faith from.
Rabbi Noam Maranz. He joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line. Got a whole nother story coming up in a moment on KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
And welcome back to Overnight America, at least for one more segment. If you would so kindly open up your Facebook and search for my Facebook page on there. It's Ryan Recker Radio. I would love for you to go on and say a few words, connect, make sure to like the page. And, oh, I've been waiting for this, a new whole nother story with Kevin Killeen. Oh, I got to plug it in. I forgot I unplugged it. Let me try that one more time.
What's the one that we always do? Hello, Dolly.
Don't you make those aren't the words.
You know, there's been something I've been meaning to tell you.
Wait.
You always want to date just the right person, not just anybody.
Fish, that was such a bad intro. Birds gotta fly.
Just like me.
Oh no, God no. Tell me he's lazy, tell me slow, tell me I'm crazy, maybe no. I know, can't help loving that man of mine.
with a whole other story.
I'm Emily Killeen.
I'm Kevin Killeen.
Have a good morning.
Isn't that a nice whole nother story? Very pleasant. Well, that'll about do it for us here on Overnight America. We always end the show the same way, but I might as well ask you one more time. If you're on Facebook, maybe you're up and you got your phone in your hand right now listening, just look up my Facebook page. I started it a few weeks ago. There's a lot of things on there that I think you'll chuckle at. A sensible chuckle. Ryan Recker Radio is how you find it. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll be back again tomorrow night. I'm on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Enjoy your night. We'll see you on Overnight America.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.